Join Wondery Plus to listen to Business Wars 1 week early and ad-free in the Wondery app. Download the Wondery app in your Apple or Google Play mobile app store today. It's December 2015 at the Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral, Florida. The SpaceX team is busy tracking the Falcon 9 rocket that's just blasted off. But Elon Musk isn't looking at the screens. Instead, he's pulling on a reflective jacket and a hard hat. As Musk heads for the exit, a team member calls out to him.
Elon, you leaving?
Yeah, I want to see this with my own eyes.
Musk steps outside. It's after dark and drizzling. He walks to the causeway connecting the Cape to the mainland. He stands there alone and looks across the water. About a mile away, he can see the launch pad lights. A month ago, Blue Origin launched and landed a reusable space rocket. Galled at missing out on that space travel milestone, Musk now wants to do the same with a rocket that's both bigger and faster. Success isn't guaranteed. Rocketry's a delicate balancing act, and SpaceX has already failed to land the Falcon 7 times. Launching and landing this rocket isn't just about outshining Jeff Bezos' crew. Reusable launch vehicles are critical to SpaceX's goal of colonizing Mars. Without rockets that can be reused like airplanes, there's no low-cost space travel. He wipes the rain from his eyes and looks into the cloudy sky. 50 miles above, the Falcon 9 performs orbital gymnastics while moving at 62 miles a second. The first stage booster detaches. As the rest of the rocket hurtles onwards, the booster fires its thrusters and flips itself over so that it points back at Earth. Then, its engines restart. As the booster thunders home, the onboard computer crunches numbers at lightning speed, monitoring the trajectory, adjusting the thrust, and manipulating the booster's metal fins to control its descent. Musk searches the skies and finally sees a bright orange flame falling fast through the murky clouds. It's too dark for Musk to see the rocket itself, but the flames flickering from its tail are unmistakable. He edges forward as it nears the launch pad. He sees the flames slow, and then a shockwave slams into him and nearly knocks him off his feet. He steadies himself and looks back at the launch pad, expecting to see it engulfed in flame. But there's no fireball. He races back to the control room. Inside, his team is celebrating.
What happened? What happened? The Falcon landed. That's what happened, dude.
Musk rushes over to check the live camera footage from the launch pad. His 15-story rocket booster is there, standing tall. The noise and shockwave were just the sonic boom caused by its rapid descent. Musk grabs his phone. His Twitter account is on fire with congratulatory messages. Then, a tweet from Blue Origin founder Jeff Bezos lands.
Congrats, SpaceX, on landing Falcon suborbital booster stage. Welcome to the club.
Musk scowls at the backhanded compliment that reminds everyone that Blue Origin did it first. But Musk doesn't need to fire back. His Twitter fans are already rushing to his defense and accusing Bezos of being a jealous troll with a toy rocket. But this game of one-upsmanship is just beginning. Landing rockets is only step one. Now both Musk and Bezos must show that they can also relaunch their rockets.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. On the last episode, the space rivals had very mixed results. SpaceX's Falcon 9 got grounded after a faulty strut caused a fuel tank to explode. Blue Origin launched and landed its New Shepard rocket. And a Virgin Galactic test flight ended in tragedy. Now, Virgin is re-entering the fray. This is Episode 6, Corporate Cosmonauts. It's February 2016, and in California's Mojave Desert, Virgin Galactic's hangar is packed with reporters. The lights are low, and there's a huge curtain draped across the middle of the hangar. The computerized voice of physicist Stephen Hawking reverberates all around.
I have always dreamed of space flight. But for so many years, I thought it was just that, a dream.
15 months ago, a Virgin Galactic space plane disintegrated in midair, leaving one test pilot dead and another seriously injured. Since then, the company's taken spacecraft development in-house and put even more emphasis on safety. Now, it's ready to step back into the limelight.
We are entering a new space age, and I hope this will help to create a new unity. Space exploration has already been a great unifier. We seem able to cooperate between nations in space in a way we can only envy on Earth.
As Hawking's speech ends, the giant curtain opens. Through the subdued lighting, the audience can make out a Land Rover that's moving towards them and towing a rocket plane. Slowly becoming clear, they see the pointed nose, sleek fuselage, and the Virgin logo painted on its arcing wings. Then, the lights go up to reveal Virgin Galactic founder Richard Branson standing through the open sunroof of the Land Rover, dressed in jeans and a leather jacket. The 65-year-old billionaire grins ear to ear, blows kisses, and waves at the audience. But he's not the star of this show. Everyone's checking out the spacecraft being towed behind him, the VSS Unity. It's the new and improved model of Virgin Galactic's space plane. It resembles a snow-white private jet with swooping silver wings. It's exactly the vision of futuristic luxury you'd expect from a vehicle that charges $250,000 per ride. Branson grabs a microphone.
Isn't she quite beautiful? And what a great testament this spaceship is to what can be achieved. Together, we can make space accessible in a way that has only been dreamt of before now. And by doing that, we can truly bring positive change to life on Earth. This spaceship is the embodiment of that goal.
Virgin Galactic plans to start test flights of Unity before the year is out. The company's space rides seem just around the corner. It's been 12 years since Branson bought the rights to Spaceship One from Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen. Back then, SpaceX and Blue Origin hadn't fired a single rocket. Now, Virgin's early lead in human spaceflight is almost gone. Blue Origin's got a potential space tourist vehicle in New Shepard. Boeing and SpaceX are developing capsules to ferry NASA astronauts to and from the International Space Station. The finish line in the race to become the first private company to send people to space is in sight for all of them. But Virgin knows all too well that in this race, victory often seems much closer than it actually is. It's September 2016, and at SpaceX's launch complex in Cape Canaveral, Florida, the company's latest Falcon 9 is being filled with rocket fuel. In the control room, a technician checks his watch. In line with company procedure, no one can be on the launch pad during fueling. He wanders over to one of the engineers.
How much longer? We still got to go back out there and prep for the engine test.
The engineer gives the technician a stop-bugging-me look.
About an hour, okay?
Right now, SpaceX is moving faster than ever. Since a failed strut brought down a Falcon 9 last summer, the company's been racing to clear a multi-billion dollar backlog of launches. To catch up, the team's condensing launch schedules and putting in extra hours. It also starts putting payloads onto rockets before engine tests and fueling. Normally, the payloads go in after fueling up, but this approach means there's fewer delays between preparations and launches. The engineer gets back to work. He looks at the live footage from the launch pad camera. Without warning, the rocket's upper body explodes. He gasps as the Falcon 9 transforms into a towering inferno. The entire room stares in horror as they see the rocket's payload tumble to the ground. Inside was a $200 million Israeli satellite. Facebook wanted to use that satellite to beam the internet into Africa. It slams into the ground and erupts into a huge fireball. Giant booms thunder across Cape Canaveral. People 5 miles away feel the ground tremble beneath them. A huge plume of thick black smoke rises from the launch pad. By the time the fire's put out, it's already clear the fallout from the explosion is going to be huge. The satellite company loses a potential buyer and suffers tens of millions in losses that its insurance won't fully cover. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg grumbles about how SpaceX destroyed his satellite. There's shock within the space industry at SpaceX's high-risk decision to load a customer's cargo onto a rocket so early. The launch pad is totaled too. It'll take months to repair the damage, meaning SpaceX launches will slip even further behind schedule. The incident plays right into the hands of United Launch Alliance. It has long defended its high prices by pointing to its unbroken record of safe and successful launches, and now it has extra ammunition. But SpaceX is baffled. Why would its rocket explode while being filled with super cold fuel? It makes no sense, unless something more sinister was at work. It's 2 weeks since the Falcon 9 explosion, and at United Launch Alliance's building, a SpaceX employee is at reception, demanding to see the person in charge. The site manager walks toward the SpaceX employee with his hand outstretched.
Hi there. May I say how sorry we all were here to hear about the explosion the other week? I'm just glad no one got hurt.
The Alliance manager pauses. The guy from SpaceX is ignoring his outstretched hand. He drops it.
So how can I help?
The SpaceX man locks eyes with the Alliance manager.
I want access to the roof.
Our roof? Why?
We found what looked like bullet holes on the remains of our rocket. The audio recording also captured a quieter bang just before the explosion.
Sorry, I don't understand what... Wait, are you accusing us of sabotage?
We're following the evidence. Just let me on the roof.
How dare you? That's an outrageous accusation.
All we want to do is check the roof.
Forget it. There's no way I'm letting you up there because of some crazy conspiracy theory. In fact, I'm asking the Air Force to come check our roof and put this nonsense to rest. Meanwhile, you can get out of our building. Go on, get out!
Several weeks later, the true culprit is found. It's not a rooftop sniper, but a faulty liner in a helium container that let liquid oxygen seep in. After that happened, friction alone was enough to ignite the fuel and cause the explosion. But while SpaceX licks its wounds, Blue Origin is pushing forward. It's October 2016, and in the West Texas desert, Blue Origin's New Shepard rocket is about to fly again.
New Shepard has cleared the tower.
There you have it, a spectacular launch of New Shepard, live from West Texas.
It's been 11 months since Blue Origin first launched this reusable rocket. Since then, Jeff Bezos's company has launched and landed New Shepard three more times. Each time, it's delivered a clean launch and a precise landing. Now the rocket is going to space for a fifth and final time. But today, it'll do more than launch and land. On top of the rocket is the passenger capsule the company hopes will one day take people on zero-gravity joyrides. But Blue Origin needs to be sure the space capsule will automatically escape and fly passengers to safety in the event of an emergency. 45 seconds after takeoff, the test starts. The passenger capsule fires its thrusters and instantly shoots off of and away from the fast-moving rocket.
There it is, 70,000 pounds of thrust pushing that crew capsule at 400 miles an hour.
When the B3 engine remains on, the booster continues to space.
After putting serious distance between it and the rocket, the capsule deploys its parachutes and gently floats back to Earth. Soon after, New Shepard returns from suborbit for another smooth landing.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Now Blue Origin's ready for the next step in its methodical march to the stars, building a giant orbital rocket called New Glenn. It's named after John Glenn, the first American to orbit the planet, and it will be 80 feet taller than Musk's Falcon 9. But Bezos isn't the only tycoon building a monster. It's February 2018, and in Cape Canaveral, SpaceX is about to launch its next-generation rocket. It's called the Falcon Heavy, and it's enormous. It's 230 feet tall and weighs almost 1,600 tons. It's made from a tall central rocket with two Falcon 9 first-stage boosters strapped onto its sides. Combined, these three boosters give it the power to carry bigger payloads, in excess of 20 tons. And SpaceX has engineered it to undercut every other heavy-lift rocket on the market. SpaceX will charge upwards of $90 million per Falcon Heavy launch. That's a third of the price of the United Launch Alliance's equivalent rocket, the Delta IV Heavy. But first, this beast of a rocket must prove it can fly.
T-minus 30 seconds.
In SpaceX's headquarters in California, excited employees join in with a countdown.
Launch director on countdown one. SpaceX, Falcon Heavy, go for launch.
10, 9, 8.
Side booster ignition.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
In unison, the Falcon Heavy's three boosters burst into life and lift the rocket into the air. It's the biggest rocket to leave U.S. soil since 1973. But today's show is just beginning. On reaching space, the Falcon Heavy's two side boosters detach, turn tail, and head back to Florida. As the boosters prepare to land, the taller central rocket enters orbit. Moments later, it reveals its playful payload, a cherry red Tesla Roadster convertible with an astronaut mannequin at the wheel. After briefly orbiting Earth, the rocket engines fire again, carrying the Tesla into space so it can orbit the sun for millions of years to come. It's a PR stunt of galactic proportions, and it launches SpaceX and Tesla onto social media feeds and TV news broadcasts worldwide.
Elon Musk has outdone himself this time.
This afternoon, SpaceX launched the world's most powerful rocket, and it's a major milestone for the company. And this is a live look at what's happening right now in space. That's Elon Musk's own Tesla convertible in orbit. The driver is a mannequin he's calling Starman. But CBS reporter Manuel...
Meanwhile, the Falcon Heavy's two side boosters land without a hitch back at Cape Canaveral. Now everyone's watching to see what happens to the first stage of the Heavy's taller central rocket, which is now returning to Earth at 300 miles per hour. It's supposed to land on a platform out at sea. But the central booster has run out of rocket engine igniter fluid, undermining its ability to control its landing. It slams into the sea at high speed, just 300 feet away from the landing platform. But it's a day of triumph for SpaceX. The company has launched a brand new rocket, grabbed the world's attention, and landed the Falcon Heavy's side boosters. And with just a little more igniter fluid, the central booster would have made it too. But now that SpaceX has sent a fake astronaut into space, it wants to go one better and put some real spacemen in orbit.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you gotta check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's ZOHO.ONE. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps, you're licensing peace of mind.
It's December 2019, and the Boeing Starliner is in orbit, high above the Earth. The Starliner's a cone-shaped space capsule, and it's on a mission to restore America's ability to get people into space. Today is its first orbital test flight. Its job is to dock with the International Space Station and then fly home. 5 years ago, NASA invited private companies to submit proposals for spacecraft capable of taking its astronauts to and from the space station. Boeing and SpaceX put in rival bids, and NASA funded them both. Now the two companies are racing to get their spacecraft finished first. It's a showdown between old and new space, but they're both running late. NASA wanted its spacecraft in 2017. Now it's nearly 2020, and neither is ready. But if today's mission goes well, Boeing will end the decade ahead by a whisker. Starliner's first challenge is to fire its engines and get into the same orbit as the space station. But the engines don't fire. On the ground, Boeing's team scramble into action. One engineer identifies the problem.
It's the internal clock. It's off by 11 hours.
The Starliner's clock has been set wrong. The spacecraft thinks it's further into its mission than it really is. The situation is potentially catastrophic.
Tell it to do the orbital insertion burn.
But luck is not on Boeing's side. Starliner is stuck in a gap between two communication satellites, the orbital equivalent of being in a place with a weak phone signal, and it slows the process of uploading the new orders. By the time the override command gets through, Starliner's already wasted so much fuel, it doesn't have enough left to dock with the space station. As Starliner heads home, NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine plays down this setback at a news conference.
I want to start by just making sure everybody knows that today, a lot of things went right. And this is, in fact, why we test. If we would have had crew in there, number one, they would have been safe. To be very clear, our crew would have been safe. And in fact, had they been in there, we very well may be docking with the International Space Station tomorrow, had they been in the spacecraft.
But NASA's mission investigation uncovers additional defects that meant that the Starliner came very close to not making it home. In response, NASA ramps up its oversight of Boeing's work and gives the aerospace giant a long list of problems to fix. And with Boeing's Starliner stuck in the pit stop, SpaceX gets its chance to shoot across the finish line.
FTS is armed for launch.
It's May 30th, 2020, and on SpaceX's launch pad at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, a Falcon 9 rocket is primed for launch and topped with the company's Crew Dragon capsule. Inside the Crew Dragon, veteran astronauts Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken settle into sports car-style seats. The foam seats are molded to their bodies for a comfy ride. There are windows promising great views, and the sleek, curvy, white interior makes them feel like they're on the set of Star Trek. In front of them are large touchscreen displays offering plenty of information about their flight. Not that they really need them. Like its cargo-carrying sister, the Crew Dragon capsule flies itself. The astronauts are just passengers in this space taxi.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff of the Falcon 9 and Crew Dragon. Go NASA, go SpaceX. Godspeed, Bob and Doug.
America has launched. And so rises a new era of American spaceflight, and with it the ambitions of a new generation continuing the dream. 20 seconds into flight, stage one propulsion is nominal.
6 hours later, the Crew Dragon docks with the International Space Station. 63 days later, the reusable capsule splashes down in the Gulf of Mexico, bringing the astronauts home and completing the mission. With the astronauts safely back on Earth, an emotional Elon Musk addresses the news crews.
I do think what this heralds really is fundamentally a new era in spaceflight, a new era in space exploration. We're going to go to the moon, we're going to have a base on the moon, we're going to send people to Mars and make life multiplanetary. And I think this day heralds a new age of space exploration. That's what it's all about.
2 decades ago, Elon Musk seemed like just another bored millionaire stargazer. Now, he's blazing ahead. SpaceX has undercut and out-innovated established giants like Boeing and the United Launch Alliance. It's won the trust of NASA, the Pentagon, and presidents alike. And it's taken people to space before Virgin Galactic. But more than that, the business space race it started has rekindled the lost dreams of the Apollo era. Once again, humanity is looking up at the stars and dreaming of the voyage ahead. December 2020, Seattle, Washington. A new email lands in Jeff Bezos' inbox. Bezos opens the email. It's good news. NASA's just added Blue Origin's New Glenn rocket to the list of vehicles eligible to compete for launch missions. Bezos smiles and whispers to himself, "Gradatim ferociter." His orbital New Glenn rocket has yet to fly, but Blue Origin is marching on, step by step, ferociously. Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey. From Wondery, this is Episode 6 of SpaceX versus Blue Origin for Business Wars. A quick note about recreations you've been hearing. In most cases, we can't know exactly what was said. Those scenes are dramatizations, but they're based on historical research. If you'd like to learn more about the new space race, check out the book Space 2.0 by Rod Pyle. I'm your host, David Brown. Tristan Donovan wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Edited and produced by Emily Frost. Sound designed by Kyle Randall. Our associate producer is Kate Young. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer-Beckman and Marshall Louie. Created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients: popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.